for today. In this sermon, we will be dramatizing and we also will be given metaphors concerning the lesson. And I hope and pray that when the invitation song has been extended, that someone will see their condition and respond to the word of God. It's especially good to see our visitors. And we want you to know, and I guess I speak for the elders and the deacons, it's good to see you. And as a matter of fact, we've been looking for you. And it's good to meet at the house of God. It was read in your hearings from the book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 1. And 2. And I want to read that. And it goes like this. I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Now, I don't want to give you my subject now. Is everything all right? But I want to read a story. And when I get down so far in the story, then we'll give you the lesson, the subject, or the highlights of the story. The introduction is, a story is told of an interesting experience of an old man. It seems that he went down to the bus stop to catch a bus and go uptown. His body made the motion, but his pocketbook refused to second the motion. I get like that sometime myself. So he had to walk. Taking a shortcut, it wasn't long. The sidewalk ran out and gave way to a narrow path. Bear with us. eventually the narrow path lost its identity among some weeds and wildflowers. And the old man found himself in the midst of an open field. And all of a sudden, an awful odor slapped him in the face. He was not aware it was coming from. But he knew that it was somewhere in the neighborhood. It was then he saw a cesspool.
Amen.
The water had covered it, and there were no outlet. The water had become stagnant. There was a thick film, a sort of green scum floating over the top of it. And the mud and the filth that had come from the cesspool, watch me now, had weighted down the weeds and the wildflowers on the bank of the cesspool. The weight of the mud had caused the weeds and the wildflowers to kiss the scum. The flowers along the way were no longer looking towards the sun. It seems, the old man said, that the hot rays from the sun had taken something away from them. But right in the center of the cesspool, the old man saw something that caught his attention. Bear with us. He couldn't understand how it happened that with all those weeds and wildflowers covered the dirt and mud and scum and ugliness right in the center was something of beauty. A strange lily. A strange lily. And it stood out because it had not lost its beauty. Now just bear with me for a while. Not only did it not take on the environment, but it added a strong beauty to the swamp. Not only was it not overwhelmed by the awful odor, it dared to add a quiet sweetness to the atmosphere. Although
and knew that the lily had no mind, had no source of awareness, had no consciousness. He wanted to talk to it.
Now, some people might call that crazy, but I wouldn't. I would say it's an outward sign of an inward thinking. Amen. Remember the age-old argument between the psychologists and the sociologists about which plays the dominant role in the development of the child, heredity or environment. Well, many of young men are nothing today because they spend much of their time today fighting their mothers and fathers. Amen, Walls. Many of young men and young ladies have taken the wrong road and fought their grandmothers and grandfathers. But eventually, it will show up. One way or another, sin has an ugly face. Now, I'm getting a metaphor here now, so I want you to bear with me. One way or the other, sin got a way of arising when it's least expected and when it's not wanted. So bear with us. Someone says, I would be something, but I live in the wrong neighborhood. That's sad. Some say, I would be something, but I go to the wrong school. Now we're talking about our young people today. And you know, it kind of scares me because it looks like we're losing a bunch of them. I would be something, but I go to the wrong school. I would be something, but the people around me are nothing. I would be something, but I'm the wrong color. They always come up with some kind of excuse. Someone said, so he asked the lily, just what? I'm giving a metaphor here now. Bear with me. So he asked the lily, what are you doing here? You have arrived at the right time, but you're in the wrong place. That old man talking to the lily now. You may be the right farm, but you're in the wrong environment. Just why are you here? How did you get here? There's something wrong, grossly wrong about this. You don't go with what I see. Amen, Walls. The old man said he never found out how Lily got there. But I can imagine that someone else, in seeking a shortcut, had gone their way. Perhaps accidentally dropped a lily bud, and the bud found itself in the cesspool. And when it found itself beneath the earth, something happened. It had to die in order to live. Are you with me? It had to die in order to live. The same thing goes for Christians. In other words, we got to die to the world and come alive to Christ. That's the way it's going to have to be if you want to be a child of the King. It found itself in a predicament there. And I remember what Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I live through Christ. If you think about it, the Bible said it's in Christ we live, we move, and have our every being. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're not in Christ, are you walking around dead? I want you to think about that. A strange lily. Although the old man knew that the lily had no mind, no sense of awareness, no sense of feeling, no sense of consciousness, he wanted to talk with it. And I want you to watch me now. I'm giving a metaphor. So bear with it. But it is own way. It gets its lesson over. Even everything have a way of talking. Watch me now. Everything has this way of getting the lesson over. Now watch me very carefully. If you had a dog can't talk. And if he did, I'd probably run too fast trying to get away from him. But a dog can wag his tail. He'll let you know he'll appreciate what you're doing. And not only that, he'll let you know that he loves you. He'll warn you of danger. And you know, they got it now where dogs can sniff dope and stuff. No, they're getting smart. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even know if I saw it. But he do. So now, I said all of that to say this. Watch me now. The flowers tell the story or paint a picture. We learn from the flowers and the wildflowers. Watch me now. The rose said, I'm a rose. The lily said, I'm a lily. The apple tree says, I'm an apple tree. And I'm going to tell you something. They know their job. Now, even if you got a bunch of seeds, watch me now, watch me. If you mix all of them seeds up, each one of them will produce after its kind. Are you still with me? Each one of them will produce. Have this kind. That is the law of nature. Because God ordained from the beginning that everything produces after its kind. And that's the way that it's going to have to be. I can't imagine coming up and looking around and keeping company with the weeds and the wildflowers, but it kept right on growing. And it began to distinguish itself from the weeds and the wildflowers and from its environment. I can't imagine. Watch me now. The weeds and the wildflowers taking on the lily. Amen. What did they say? Saying, what's going on, baby? Are you with me? What's happening? You seem to be so high and mighty. You seem to be looking away from us. You seem to be all uptight and out of sight. What makes you you and me me? Now, I can imagine. Watch me now. Now, I'm getting on a metaphor now. Amen, Ross. The weeds and the wildflower acting like we're nothing or nobody, but the lily says it don't have to be that way. You can be what you want to be. You can do what you want to do. The choice is up to you. Life might place you all in all kind of situations. Life might take you around the world. Life might take you on trips that you never dreamed you would go. That's life. But watch me now, it might put us even in the hot seat. But that's life. Life might set us in a valley filled with dry bones, hospitals, rest homes. But the lily says, life might put you where you don't plan to be. Now, I'm talking about the lily, not talking. Life might put you where you don't plan to be, but you don't have to stay there. Am I getting over? The lily says, it's not where you are, but it's what you are that counts. The lily says, it's not what's you in, but what's in you that counts. The lily says, you don't have to suck lemons and frown. You can make lemonade. Amen. And smile. That's what the lily says. You can be what you want to be, young people. And I'm trying to get over to our young people, because it's essential that we stop this trend. And there's no better time than now. And I'm so glad to see the church here, the elders, the ministers, and the deacons, and they're well put together. And I love that. Amen. There's nothing that works better than a church well put together. Amen. And oh, I love coming here. I love coming here, and I'm so happy even to be here today, because it means so much for me. Not only that, but the lily says, flowers has always played a major role in history. When words are not enough, send flowers. Amen. You know, it used to be, let me talk to the brothers now. It used to be every so often you send your wife a bouquet of flowers. And when you got married, the flowers stopped coming. But I'm going to tell you something. Them women, them sisters going to look for them flowers now. You have to be very careful. Watch me very carefully. We send flowers to cheer up, to make up, to make happy, to celebrate anniversaries and birthdays and other homecomings. Watch me very carefully. Just like the lily in the cesspool, it stands out. It stands tall. It keeps itself. Now let me tell you what to mean right there. When I say it keeps itself, that's just like a Christian. They keep themselves unspotted from the world. Are you with me? In a number of ways, the Christians are like beautiful flowers. Job 14:2 says this: he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. Songs of Solomon said, I am the rose of Sharon, and I am the lily of the valleys. There's nothing that stands so tall and so brave, and that is a Christian. And I hope and pray that whatever you be in life, you'd be the best that you can. You know, I tell you what, if I was a floor sweeper, I would sweep floors like Michelangelo painted pictures. If I was a man that worked on the sanitarium truck, I would do the best I could while I could. Being the best that you can will make something of yourself. And when you make something of yourself, people watches. And they will make something of themselves. But just like the lily says, you can be what you want to be. You can live in this world. Let me make this point here. We live in this world, and this world is full of scum, filth. This world is, as a matter of fact, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Don't put up your tent, don't build no houses, because we're just passing through. Not only that, but watch me very carefully. In Matthew 5:16, it said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. We're just like lights. Just, I'm going back to that lily, just like that lily set in that cesspool. So of our lives, As saying says, so are the days of our lives. Be the best of whatever you say. Ye are the light of the world, a city that sit on a hill, it cannot be hid. Just like that lily set in the cesspool. Undoubtedly, everybody that passed by there saw that lily. Undoubtedly, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm very observant to think. And if I see something like that, you know what I do? I'd go over and look too. But just like that lily caught the attention. That's the way the Christians, that's the way the world is looking at us. You think very seriously about that. The world is watching us. And when you least expect it, when you least expect somebody is watching you, that's when somebody's watching you. Let me ask you a question. You ever went to a place and somebody saw you? And then you get back to the house and the next day somebody say, I saw you. You didn't know I saw you, but I saw you. And you were doing this and that. You was coming out the bootlegger's house. But I saw you. That's the reason you, the Bible said, be careful for nothing. That means be careful every time, every day, every hour, every minute. We have a nice number today. Now this evening, if the Lord's will, we're going to speak. We're going to let both barrels are loose. That's the church and the world. But I want to say this. Now, God has ordained that every seed produces after its kind. Are you with me? Okay, let me give you an illustration. If you go out and plant a cantaloupe, would you go out there looking for watermelons? If you planted watermelons, would you go out there looking for cantaloupes? Now, church, think for a minute. Think for a minute now. The seed, I'm going to speak on that this evening, but let me tell you something, which is very important, and I hope and pray that you stay for this evening, because I want to deal with that seed, but you think very carefully, the seed is the word of God. That's it right there. And don't let nobody tell you anything different. There's five steps that puts one into the church. That puts you into the church. When you get in the church, you got to work out your soul salvation in the church. Not get in the church and sit down. I tell you something, somebody told me one time, I said, Brother Turney, I would come to the church, but you got some people over there not living right. And I asked them a question like this right here. If there was a train leaving here going for glory, would you be on it? Everybody in the church is not going to heaven. Amen, amen, Walls. But you get in the church, work out your soul salvation. There's nothing more than being a Christian. In order for somebody to respect you, you know what you got to do first, don't you? Respect yourself. And when you respect yourself, the world will respect you. Hear the gospel. What is the gospel? The death, the burial, in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is the Word. Believe what you have heard. Acts 15:7. And when there had been much disputed, Peter rose up and said, "Men and brethren, you know a good while ago how God made choice among us that the Gentile by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe it. Repent." Luke 13:3, "I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." That's plain and simple down to earth. Repent. That's a big step. A lot of people, they don't want to repent. They want to go on and do the things they did before they got in the church. But it don't work like that. I had a preacher one time. The only reason why I persuaded him to come to the gospel. You know what he did? He said, "Well, I want to come to the Church of Christ, but I don't want to go and be baptized all over again." Then I told him like this right here. I said, "You don't want to be saved then, do you?" And I'm going to tell you something. He never did come. That's the only thing that kept him out of the church. Oh, he come down and want to participate. I said, before you can participate, you've got to be a member. Confess Christ before men. That's a big step. We're talking about here and now, and after a while, there and then. Christ said, "If you confess me, I will confess you before my Father, which art in heaven." He said, verse 33 said, "But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which art in heaven." Here and now, and there and then. Now, here's the big step. Puts one into the church. Baptized. Romans 6:3-4 says, so many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Therefore, we are buried with Christ in baptism, and like this Christ, raised up by the glorified Father. Even so, we all shall walk in the newness of life. Brother Branch, I baptized a guy, and he told me this right here. He didn't feel anything. You know, and I couldn't hardly think of nothing. He asked me, he said, "Did you feel anything?" And I said it in a jokified way. I said, "Well, I did feel something." He said, "What'd you feel?" I said, "The water was cold." I put him into Christ. If you hear, you're a child of God. You know what to do to be saved. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. And you can do just that while together we study the same.